a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid."
I'm number one. This is my one thing. Angels are extremely and intricately important in the supernatural dimension. You can't read very far in the Bible without reading about angels. So they're extremely important, yet I found that so few Christ followers, and especially people in the church, know about angels. How shallow the understanding of people are. They know more about the devil than they know about the angels. And what we do think we know, we have learned from Hollywood or from television or from tradition. How many remember the TV movie that was on not long ago, Touched by an Angel? Remember that? Yeah, see? Now that's biblical, right? How about Angels in the Outfield? Remember that movie? Angels in the Outfield, right? Yeah, there's the angels, baseball team, the angels come, and angels from God come and help them win the World Series. Now, that's biblical. That'll work. And how about my all-time favorite great Christmas movie? It's a Great Life, right? We learned a lot about angels from that one. Remember Clarence? Clarence the Angel? He taught us something special about angels. See if you remember what he taught us. That every time you hear a bell ring, angels. See, you learned that. Where did you learn that in church? And what we learn about the supernatural realm, and specifically about angels, we usually learn from television or Hollywood. Or how about this one? You know, grandma dies, and so grandma's a Christian. She goes to heaven, and she becomes a guardian angel for your children. Is that biblical? Does that work? Wished it were. Sounds good, right? And so what we've learned about angels is from tradition or Hollywood. So today what we want to do is just skim the surface, just a little bit on angels, because they play such an intricate part in the supernatural dimension. When most people say angels, they think of an image of this beautiful creature, this 8-foot-tall woman with this long golden hair and this flowing gown, right? And these beautiful wings. Right? Is that what most folks think of when they think of an angel? Well, I want to go ahead and shake us up so you'll pay attention to me, okay? Angels don't have wings. I'm sorry. They don't. Get your Bible out. Study it. Angels do not have wings. Now, I know that comes against the traditions that you've been taught. And Judy and I were discussing this, and she says, "Well, Deb, what about that scripture that says, well, he'll send angels with healing in their wings?" I said, "Well, why don't we look at it?" So we did. So let's look at it together, okay? Put that up there for me. It's in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. There we go. Malachi 4 and 2. It says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Anything in there about angels? Oh, and Judy repented. Now let me quickly say that though angels do not have wings, other members, now hear how I'm saying this, of the heavenly host do. I'm going to show you in just a second that angels are in a separate class all by themselves. But other members of the heavenly host do, right? And I want you to see this. For example, the heavenly host consists of seraphims. Seraphims have wings. They have 6 of them. Cherubims. Cherubims have wings. They have 4 of them. The creatures around the throne in the book of Revelation have wings. But angels, at least in my Bible, do not have wings. Okay? Now, like I just said, that the heavenly hosts, some of them do have wings. And so, well, we're going to look at this, but I do want you to see that angels are of a totally different class than other members of the heavenly host. So let me read you this scripture. It's in Psalms 148, verse 1. It says this, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights above, praise Him all His, what? Angels, and praise Him all His heavenly host. Notice, please, that there's a heavenly host, but the angels are sort of in a separate class, in a separate category. There's a difference between angels and the remainder or the rest of the heavenly host. So I want to run us through these quickly so that we'll kind of get a visual here and an idea of what we're talking about. So let me run you through these. Let's talk about, see, I want to give you seven layers, and I don't really mean layers, but seven dimensions, and it's not like a vertical, it's more like horizontal, because each one has their own sphere and do what each one of them does. So it's not like one's more important than the other. They all just have different things to do. But let's start off here with the seraphim. The seraphim, we read in the scriptures, they're around the throne of God all the time. And they're the ones that cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They have six wings, and they always are interacting with God, with the Father God, with the Lord God. They never interact with people. The next one that I want to talk about are the cherubim. Now, the cherubim are different from the seraphims. The cherubim have four wings, and we find them first in the book of Genesis. Remember when Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden? It was a cherubim that God placed there to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, you hear me talk about this all the time, but first use is so vital in understanding and learning from scriptures, because that first use will always follow that thought all the way through the Bible. So if a cherubim is used to guard the way to the tree of life, it's always going to be used to guard the way to the tree of life. So when we find the cherubim again, they're like over the mercy seat. Now, the image that I put that image back up there for me. The image that I showed you, they're stretched out this way. Another way that a lot of people depict them is they're stretched out this way, because they're over the mercy seat, guarding the way to the tree of life. Now, under the mercy seat is the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth. And in this are the tables of stone, the ways of God. In this is the golden pot of manna. And in this Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth is the Aaron's rod that budded. Now, what is guarding the way to life there, what that simply means is that if you want true life, you're going to have to understand God's authority, Aaron's rod that budded. You're going to have to understand God's provisions, the golden pot of manna. And you're going to have to understand God's ways. And this is what he's guarding here. They're also embroidered in the veil. And behind the veil was the most holy place, the holies of holies. They're embroidered in that, guarding the way to the tree of life, guarding the way to the most holy place. They're embroidered over the curtains and in the tabernacle and in the temple that Solomon built. They're engraved in the gold and in the walls and the ceiling. They're guarding the way to the tree of life. That's what cherubims do. And again, they never interact with people. They're always interacting with God. The third one that I want to just talk to you a moment about are archangels. They stand guard over the nations. We find this in Daniel. When Daniel was visited, the archangel came and he says he was standing guard over the people of God. So this is what archangels do. God places archangels, over his people to guard them over the nations. The fourth one is the host of heaven. And we'll talk about that just a second. The host of heaven is the armies of God. The host. When Joshua crossed the Jordan River, he was met by the captain of the Lord's host. The host of heaven, it's the armies of God that battle with God's people. When you remember the story about Elijah, as Elijah came out to the armies of the enemy were surrounding them, and his servant freaked out. And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. And when he opened his eyes, he saw all the chariots and all the armies of God all around. That's what the host of heaven does. And then the fifth one is principalities and powers. We talked about this one. There's principalities and powers that are from God, and principalities and powers that are from the enemy. And they're stationed over areas, over cities, over countries, over families. And these are principalities and powers that are stationed over areas. And then the sixth one is the angel of the Lord. Now, this is a unique study and teaching just in itself. A lot of people teach this one as a Christophany. What a Christophany is, if you don't know, is an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. That's what a lot of people think, that the angel of the Lord is representing. And what the angel of the Lord does is go on special missions. Now, sometimes this special mission can be to an individual, or sometimes it's to go and take care of business in a very severe way. Read you just a couple of scriptures about this. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, it says this: "That night the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp." Now that's taking care of business, right? In a pretty severe way. I want to show you this one. Just leave it up there. In Exodus 3:2. Now, a lot of this, what's happening here, contextually, Moses is taking care of Jethro's sheep, and he looks up and he sees this bush on fire, but it's not consumed. And he says, "I'm going to go look at this thing. I'm going to check it out." And so he goes and looks. And we are traditionally taught or think that God is talking to Moses. No, it was the angel of the Lord. And I'll read it to you. It's in Exodus 3:2. "There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush." I don't know if you knew that or not. This is what the angel of the Lord did. And you'll find it is over 60 scriptures in the Bible just talking about the angel of the Lord. And then the number 7, and this is, I saved it for last because this is the one we're going to be talking about. 7 are angels. Now, what's the purpose of an angel? And I've got you just a quick note there. We're going to be working here. But what is the purpose of an angel? Angels interact with people. We don't interact with seraphims or cherubims, or hopefully not the angel of the Lord sometimes, you know. Hopefully not the host of heaven's coming against us or something like that. But what we do interact with are the angels. What angels do for us is angels help us to do what we're supposed to do. Angels interact with us, and they help us connect the natural with the supernatural. They bring us to a place with the Holy Spirit of interacting with us, bringing us the Lord's Word, and opening up the supernatural dimensions to us. And we're going to be talking about that in just a little while. Who saw the movie Michael the Angel? Do you remember that one, Michael? He's this archangel who lives on earth. He's a beer-drinking, cigarette-smoking archangel of God, right? And he's got these huge, beautiful, John Travolta, got these huge, beautiful white wings. He hides them under a trench coat. Remember that? Watch. You know he answers every prayer, but you better do your part.
Writer too.
Oh, really? What did you write?
Psalm 85. That wasn't called Psalm 85 when I wrote it. I had no idea they were going to be collected and numbered.
He wants to know why angels don't solve big problems.
That is what I want to know.
Why don't angels solve big problems?
You can't change the nature of the world.
What can you do?
Small miracles, only so many. Some angels aren't so smart. They use them up in stupid ways.
Like the parking space angel.
I don't like to criticize other angels.
Excuse me, Michael. Before I really get into teaching about angels today, I thought we would take a look at one and see what an angel really looks like. I want to read you a scripture. It's going to set up what I want to talk about for the next few minutes and actually what we'll be talking about for the rest of the day. It's in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, an extremely interesting verse in the Bible. It says there, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people entertain angels," strangers, angels, "without knowing it." King James Version says, "entertained angels unawares." Now, what does that verse tell us about the appearance of an angel, the physical appearance? Angels must look like people, right? It would not be difficult to recognize a cherub with four wings and eyes all around and wheels, or a seraphim with six wings, or angelic creatures riding around in fiery chariots. Those things wouldn't be difficult to identify. However, in the scriptures, an angel has the physical appearance of a person, of a man. At the announcement, we see this, at the announcement of Samson's birth, we see this. An angel came to Samson's mother
And this is what the verse says. It's in Judges chapter 13, verse 6. It says, "Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God.'" Very terrible. "But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear unto Manoah and to his wife than Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord." Now, the angel looked like a man, but there was something about his countenance. It was awesome. My point is that if you are waiting for a 10-foot glowing being with wings or some other physical distinguishing identification to experience in your life the presence of an angel, you'll miss it. There are many, many, many situations where an angel was actually thought to be a person at first encounter when we read the scriptures. And I want to show you just one more of these and then we'll move on. And this one took place at Sodom just before God destroyed it. Let me read this to you. It's in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. "The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground." Now, initially, Lot did not know they were angels, and I'll show you that in just a second. That became apparent later. But you remember the story. The angels were sent. God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels were sent to remove Lot and his family from that judgment. Lot saw the angels, as did others, and then Lot invited them to his home to kind of protect them. He invited them to his home, and the men came to Lot's house. Later, four verses later, the men in the city came to Lot's house, and we read there in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 5, it says this, "They called to Lot, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us.'" Now, this is consistent with the appearance of angels in the scriptures. They look like people. Of the entire heavenly host, the cherubims, the seraphims, the host, of all of the heavenly hosts, it's with angels that you and I interact. So because of that, we will focus our time today on angels. Now, I want to look at one more thing. I want to look at the original meaning of the word in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It gives us a lot of insight as well. So in the Old Testament, the word there, the Hebrew word there, is malach. And it means a messenger, specifically of God, i.e. an angel. Now watch this. Also a prophet, a priest, or teacher. In the New Testament, the Greek word is agalos. And what it means is to bring tidings. A messenger, especially an angel, by implication, a pastor. Have you ever thought of a person as being an angel? This is why the Bible says we entertain angels without knowing it, unaware. My goal is not to lessen an angel to you. My goal is to expand an angel to you and to the truth of what they are in the scriptures and what an angel is and what an angel does. I'll see you later, Michael.
Now, remember what John and Paul said.
The apostles.
No, the Beatles. All you need is love.
What I want you to get, one of the main things that I want you to get, is that when you're in around an angel, there's something about their countenance. There's something about, we call it the anointing, you can call it whatever that you want. Deborah, you've been around an angel? Oh, yeah. And there's something about their countenance that you just want to draw in from them. You want to hear everything they've got to say. You just really, especially initially, this is the initial response that you'll always feel with an angel. I want to show you something that's very, very important in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1 says this, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Jesus, to show his servants what must soon take place." We won't go there. "He made it known by sending his" what? Angel to his. How did Jesus Christ make known the revelation of Jesus Christ? Did he make it known by the Holy Spirit? Did Jesus Christ himself tell John? How does the Bible say that John the Revelator, the writer of the book of Revelation, received the revelation? An angel. What about that? Now, this angel came to John, and this angel took him through the book of Revelation. Now, what happens, if you understand anything about the book of Revelation, four different occasions happen through the book of Revelation where John was taken into the spirit dimension, the supernatural dimension. Revelation 1:9 says, "And I was in the spirit on the Lord's day." Four different times this happened. So John is taken by this angel into the supernatural dimension. It opens up for him. Even in chapter 4 it says, "And a door in heaven was opened, and I heard a voice." And so John was taken into the supernatural, and he experienced and he saw all of these many, many, many things that the angel showed him. Now, in the third encounter, in the third experience that he had as he went into this supernatural dimension, in this third experience he had, he does something there that's so necessary of understanding and grasping in our study today. It's in Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, he writes this. "And the angel said," this is the angel that Jesus Christ sent to John, "the angel said, 'Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb,'" or the marriage supper of the Lamb. "And he added, 'These are true words that come from God.'" That's what an angel will always do, is bring you true words from God. "Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, 'No, don't.'" Let the screens catch up. "No, don't worship me, for," here's why, "for I am a servant of God just like you." What? What does that mean? I'm a servant of God just like you and others, and just like other people, other brothers, other sisters who testify of their faith in Jesus. This angel had faith, the blood of Jesus, testimony of Jesus, had faith in Jesus. Worship God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Now, the King James Version and the NIV Version says, "I'm your fellow servant." I like the New Living Translation because it says, "I'm just like you." Now, these angels that the Bible teaches us about are just like us. This is why we entertain them unawares. They're a different class from all the other things. And I want us to grab a hold of the truth of what angels do and who angels are and what they accomplish. This angel was a being who opened up the supernatural to John, took him into the supernatural dimension, and helped him understand what was going on in the supernatural realm. I'm not saying, now, hear me, I'm not saying that angels are not supernatural. But what I am saying is that there's much, much more. And I don't want you going out of here even thinking that all they do is fly around with wings up in the atmosphere somewhere, because that's not what angels do. I want you to get it. See, angels connect the seen with the unseen. They appear sometimes in an unseen way. And then sometimes they will appear in the form of a person. They come and they connect. My point is to expand to us what an angel really is and what an angel really does. The Bible says we entertain angels without knowing it. Are angels unawares? Let me make this really, really clear to all of us. You might be sitting next to one. You say, "He sure ain't no angel at home." That doesn't mean he's not an angel. "Well, she don't act like no angel." Or you might be looking at one. Yeah. Or you might be one. Angels do many, many things. We can't cover hardly any of the things that angels do. But what I do want to take the time that we have left, and I want to show you four major things that I think are so vitally important to understand what angels do. So, what do angels do? Watch.
What do angels do? Angels do a lot of things. I want to take time to point out three or four things that I think are very, very important. One is that angels minister to you. We find this in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" That's you. All angels minister. they minister in all sorts of ways. You remember the story about Jesus. After fasting food and water 40 days and nights, the devil tempted Jesus with three very severe temptations, and Jesus was wiped out at the end of that. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, it says this, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." The Greek word translated ministered is diakonio, and what it means is to be an attendant. It means to wait upon as a host, a friend, or a teacher. Have you ever been just totally mentally, physically, spiritually wiped out from something that the devil put on you, put you through? And someone showed up to take care of you, some angel. Now, don't discount that you were entertaining an angel unaware. Angels minister to people. What's something else angels do? Well, angels are warriors. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, we read, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." Angels are fighters and warriors against the devil. They want the devil and his angels brought down over areas and brought down over lives and brought down over people. Angels have a desire to bring the devil down. What else do angels do? Well, another thing they do is angels are messengers. Angels bring more than a simple message from the Lord to people. They bring a life-changing message. Now, to me, this is the primary purpose of an angel. We've already seen that an angel brought a message to Samson's parents about Samson's being born. He brought a message to Lot. He brought a message to John in the book of Revelation. This is true repeatedly in the scriptures. You find an angel, and you will find a life-changing message from God. Here is one of the most famous messages brought by an angel. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 30. It says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus.'" An angel brought that message, the greatest message ever. The Savior of the world will be born, and his name will be Jesus, and he will be the Savior of the world. Now, don't be unaware, an angel brought you that message, the greatest message of your life, Jesus Christ. He will be born in you. God loves you, and through Jesus, you will be saved. An angel brought the message of the coming Savior to Mary. Angels announced to the shepherds that the Savior had been born, and angels announced at the tomb that the Savior had risen from the dead. Angels are messengers to you from God. What else do angels do?
Angels are messengers to me. That's one of the main things that they do. And I said in that video, it says you find an angel and you'll find a life-changing message from God. Judy wanted me to say it a different way as well. If you'll find a life-changing message from God, you'll find an angel. Now, I want to give you number four. The fourth thing that I want to talk about that angels do is angels strengthen you. Angels strengthen you. Today is Palm Sunday, and this was the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and he began his week of passion. You remember the story, palm limbs were laid out, and clothes were laid out, and the donkey that Jesus was riding upon passed over those things, and it began that week of passion, ending on that Friday with his arrest and then his being beaten and scourged and crucified and dying. This began this whole Passion Week. On Thursday of that evening before that Friday when Jesus would die, he wanted to have Passover meal, the Passover supper, with his guys. And he desired to do it, the Bible says. And so they got together and they were connecting and had this wonderful time. And then afterwards, he took them to the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember the story. They all went in. He says, "You guys stay here. I'm going to go over here." The Bible says he went about a stone's throw. And there he began to pray. And he prayed a very familiar prayer, a prayer that we all have heard and have read so many times, but I don't think any of us have ever gotten the agony that Jesus was experiencing. In Luke's gospel, Luke talks about how he was in agony. It was a horrible, horrible time. Let me read you the verse and then talk about it just a little bit more. In Luke 22:42, it says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. Please, if there's another way, take it from me." yet not my will, but yours be done. And he prayed this again and again and again. Jesus needed some strength here. He needed to be empowered. This was a most difficult time for him. It was an agonizing, stressful time. He was experiencing a physical disorder where underneath your skin you begin to bleed because of the nerves and because of the stress that a person is experiencing. And you bleed under the skin and it comes out of the pores and it mingles with the sweat. And the Bible says that he sweat great drops of blood. This is the stress level he was on. Now, we've all been stressed. We all understand stress, but not like that. You see, this was not an easy thing for Jesus. It was not easy at all for him. He didn't want to die. He says, is there any other way? And he prayed it again and again and again. Is there any other way that we can do this? I don't want to do this. Though it was the most important thing he would do. He needed something to help him to get it done. So here's what happened. Verse 22, verse 43 of the same chapter, the next verse says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Whoa. You see, the angel strengthened the Lord to fulfill the most difficult yet most important event of his life. You and I have experienced this. There's been times in our lives, and I look back at mine, there's been something I've been faced with. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to go through it. And I would pray, God, is there another way? Can't we fix this somehow, some other way? Do we have to go through this? And I would cry out to the Lord again and again and again. And then I would get peace. And I would be able to do it. And it would be very, very important. And you've experienced the same thing as well in your life. Well, what happened? What was that? An angel of the Lord, maybe seen, maybe unseen. Came to you. It could have been a person, an angel unaware, or it could have been an unseen. But it came to you, and you were strengthened, and you were able to fulfill that most difficult thing that you needed to do in your life. Some of you right now are facing things you don't want to face. You're facing issues that you wish that you didn't have to. You're crying out to God right now, oh Lord, is there another way? Do I have to go through this? Can I get around this any other way? God wants to sends you an angel. He wants to strengthen you through his angels. This is what angels are for. See, more than you want to be successful, God wants you to be successful. And so what God has done is create angels to help us be successful. And so as we go through these moments and these times, I want you to remember this. You see, some of you are facing like marital problems right now. I know. Facing marital situations in your life. And you're saying, I don't even want to go through this. I don't even want to go home. I don't want to face this. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And you need to cry out to God. And you need to say, help me, strengthen me. I want to do it. I want to do what's right. I'm not my will. My will is to get out of this thing. But I know your will is for me to do the right thing. And so he'll send an angel. And he'll strengthen you. Some of you are facing sin issues. Some of you are facing these horrible things that you're battling in your life. And you're saying, I'll never beat it. I'll never overcome. I'm not strong enough. I'm too weak. Yes, you are in your own strength. Even Jesus was too weak. He had to have an angel to come and strengthen him to fulfill his purpose. Who do you think that you are? That you're going to be able to go through life without help? And what God will do for you in your moment is he'll send an angel to you and he'll strengthen you so that you can overcome it. God wants you successful way more than you want to be successful. And so he has created angels to help us in life to be successful. We live in a physical world, a natural world. Surrounded by a supernatural world that interacts. In this supernatural world, light is battling darkness all the time. Whether you want to or not, you are involved in this. Whether you sign up doesn't matter. The angels of God want to protect you while the angels of the devil want to destroy you. And in this supernatural world, there's a spiritual warfare. We talked about that. But what God has done for all of us is he sent us the Holy Spirit. And he says, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit's come upon you to be witnesses. But with that also come gifts. With that also comes an ability to put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit. He's given us armor to ward these things off. We've talked about those things. But also in this supernatural dimension, there is a real devil. And he has real demons. And they're scheming and they're planning this moment to destroy you, to minimize you, to humiliate you, and if possible, kill you. They want to destroy your family, your children. That's what they're doing. They're scheming right now. But also in the supernatural dimension, there are angels that the Lord sent, created just for you, to help you, to minister to you. Ministering spirits that will minister to you in all kinds of ways. Warriors. Warriors that want to come and bring down Satan and bring down his demons in your life so that you can be successful. Warriors. Angels of God that want to bring you the message of truth. The truth will set you free. And as you know the truth and the angel of the Lord comes to you and brings you truth, then you can be victorious in your life. Also, he wants to come and strengthen you. The angels of God want to strengthen us so that we can be successful. Jesus says, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. We need his angels to experience the success that God has for us, each and every one of us. And some of you right now need this help, need this strength. You need an angel to truly come and participate with you in life. You need to understand it when you see it so you won't happen it. It won't happen to you unaware. Recognize the angels of the Lord. And those of you who don't need it this moment will one day need it. And so what I'm wanting us to hear today is that when you experience these things and when these begin to cry out to God, and you may have to do it 2, 3, 4 times, Jesus did, you do it and do it and do it until the strength comes, whether it's a seen way or an unseen way, but God will come and strengthen you so that you can fulfill your purpose and you can be victorious in life. But don't forget this. You entertain angels unawares. You might be sitting beside one. You might be looking at one. But here's what I really want to believe. Is that you are one. And that not only will you minister to yourself, but you'll minister to others. You'll war for others. You'll go out and you'll bring a message of God and truth to others. And that you'll strengthen others. That's what I want you to remember about angels. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You're a great God. It's been a great series. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that the angels were available for even Jesus when he was too weak to go on. They strengthened him so that he could. And though, Lord, we get weak sometimes, you send your angels to strengthen us. Seen angels and unseen angels that come and give us the ability to go on and accomplish what we're here to do in life and have a successful life. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Today, you are facing an experience right now where you need some strength. You need an angel of the Lord to come and to strengthen you so that you can do his will, not your will, but God's will, so that you can do the right thing. That's you. I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. I want to just ask the Lord to bless you right now. So if that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray for you? I see hands all over the place. Hands all over the place. Okay, put them down. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we all need your strength. But Lord, some of us right now need it very, very badly. And Lord, I ask you right now, as we've studied this, as our faith has developed and evolved to this point now, that you will release angels awares to us, that we will recognize the activity of angels in our life and we'll receive it from them, and it will be truth, and we'll be able to go on and have the life that you want us to have and experience. I ask you to bless each person here, Lord, and those that didn't raise their hands, one day they will, and I pray they'll remember, Lord, I pray they'll remember this lesson and to cry out to you 3, 4 times, whatever it takes, and that you will send your angels to minister to them. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Now, maybe you away from God. Now, listen. Jesus sent the angel to John. Jesus can send the angels to you. But if you don't know him, if you're not where you need to be with him, then he can't do that. And you need to correct that. Maybe you've gotten away from God, backslid, slipped back, drifted away. Or maybe you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior. Well, let's fix that. Let's fix that so that the supernatural element of the angels of God ministering to you can take place in your life. So if you've never received Jesus Christ, or you've backed away, you've gotten away from Him from where you know you need to be, I want you to raise your hand right where you're sitting, and I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. Would you raise your hand right now? Do I see your hands? Any others? Any others?